Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron, and I'm here with Tom and Dom on the first Jump Point Sunday morning of 2024. I hope everyone is having a great day. We are excited to be talking about gameplay balance today. We love the controversy, don't we? So we're going to talk about all sorts of great things like battle value, point value, list tuning. Is balance actually ever achievable, or is it just an existential crisis, Tom? I don't know. We'll figure it out. But what we're going to do first, guys, is we're going to start out with a little patron Q&A.
Say what?
This one comes in from Feeling Boots, and he asks why.
Wait,
I have
Feeling Boots or Feline Boots?
No, feeling.
Yes, yeah, Feeling.
Brilliant name. Well done.
Feline Boots.
I thought, yeah, like, you know, a cat with
like
boots cat, on.
Like Puss in Boots.
Or Kitten Mittens. Yeah.
I like that. That's a good one. So his question is this. Why the fondness for standard engine mechs in Alpha Strike when you're not paying PV for the missing structure? So, Tom, I'm gonna let you start because I think you know.
Tom doesn't even like Alpha, so... No, it's just because of the way, it's just the way that the internal structure works in Alpha. You just get such a penalty because you're working with so few pips.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah. The cost of losing a pip is not like it's not big enough. Like the reduction in cost of losing that pip structure is just not big enough. And most of the time, you're putting weapons and things on the mech. And then you're paying anyway. So like what happens is you put on an XL engine, you have less structure, but then you're paying because your TMM is higher. And that's like, that's scaled up way more than the structure in terms of what it costs.
I see.
So like, that makes sense. You're basically like paying just as much as you would if you were slower, but you have way more survivability. And because of the level of abstraction in that game, like two pips is life and death. So when you're talking about an Atlas with eight structure that suddenly goes down to four, that's like catastrophic levels of like reduction in staying power. So
it's a bad, I don't think it makes sense in Alpha the way that they
silly model.
It,
they should modify the critical hits like it's like we did in Override, right? Where you were more likely to get an engine critical, like the 5 and 9, the roll agains on the Alpha Strike table become engine criticals. Like that would have been a simple fix without having to mess with the pips. I don't understand it. It's a hot button. Great question. Appreciate it. Always
well done,
good stuff coming from our patrons. Yep. All right. So why don't we get into our Ready Room Roundtable? This is a juicy one. Got some good stuff here, guys. All right. The first question in our Ready Room Roundtable is this. Does battle value and point value actually translate well in Battletech? So I want to sort of expand on this question a minute, and then we'll go to Tom, and then we'll go to Dom. So consider like Warhammer 40,000 or one of these other games where they're constantly dialing in point values, like errata this, errata that. You buy things at such a granular level, right? You know, I buy this plasma cannon and I upgrade to a sergeant, but he can only take this specific war gear. Like it's very, to use a corporate word, like it's very governed in terms of what you can take. Any mech can take any weapon, right?
Is it smart governed?
Smart framework. and consider like the paradigm of like, does, X number of urban mechs actually ever equal one Marauder 2C? Like, can I make that battle value work or not? Think about terrain on the board. Warhammer terrain, it's like, I can see you, I can't. Battletech terrain, totally different. Water has effects on heat. There's intervening terrain. There's blocking terrain. There's partial cover. It's way more complex, in my opinion. We just talked about XL engines and Alpha Strike, jump jets and Classic, armor, like all of these things, right? There's a lot going on. So does it actually translate? Tom, what do you think? Is battle value a farce?
I think, we've talked about it a lot. I think BV2 actually works well. And especially, if anything, it's as granular as 40K, if not more, because it's not like a 1 point system. It's like thousands, right?
Right.
However, you know, you overlap with some differences in other games, like you mentioned 40K, and I'll just stick on that. But there's, you know, certain weapons that certain units can take that like doesn't exist with mechs, right? Like a PPC can go in a mech if it has the slots and everything, right? So that would be a super interesting, you know, like only an assault mech can carry a PPC or something that would do some things. It'd be very interesting. But yeah, no, I think it works. I think, you know, it's the best system. I've never seen an alternate that works better. You know, people try tonnage and these other things. None of them work. I think BV is the best you can do. You know, it's calculating point values for everything, right? Heat sinks, weight, all these things. There's a calculation on speed and all this stuff. So it's really, you know, again, you're not, as far as I know, you know, gear doesn't affect speed of a 40K unit unless it's some kind of enchanted thing, right?
Right. Like there's like jet like taking off on a gun certain doesn't things. Make a,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like
the weight of gear doesn't slow down a unit. Yeah. So,
correct.
Super interesting there. I think BV is actually pretty good, and it's one of the strengths of the Battletech.
Yeah. Very good.
Dom, it's a strength. Hold on. It's a strength.
Fingers up.
Fingers up.
I'm not going to hard disagree with you, Tom, but maybe a slightly soft disagree. I think Battletech battle value is, it's a good idea in concept, and it's certainly better than tonnage, and it's certainly better than Seabills if you're running a campaign or a game Seabills. Or anything else. Yeah. But I think that, and Aaron obviously gave that example then of like Urbis versus a something very crunchy like a Marauder 2. And I think we've spoken about this on Jump Point before. We've spoken about weight of dice several times.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you bring like 8 Urbis to the field with 8 AC-10s, and you can then outposition the Marauder 2 quite easily, and you are just rolling 8 times every, you know, turn for an AC-10 attack, because the Marauder 2 is not very fast anyway, so the Urbis are going to close in on it, even if they are very slow themselves, then I think the chances of the Marauder 2 winning that are just like non-existent, and yet you might have that. That might be, you know, I'm not saying you get 8 Urbis for one, you know, Marauder 2, but whatever it works out at,
I think
it would still give the Urbis a big advantage. But the second point on this, and this is where I think battle value really does fall down if you're talking about like going into competitive play. And I shall use the Panther as an example.
Ah, the Panther.
So the Panther, Mequiol, I mean, I love the Panther. I think he's a lovely little mech. 35 tonner, good armor, PPC and an SRM4. If you had the choice to replace the SRM4 for the LRM5, you would do so, right? There's no variant with that onto my knowledge, but you would absolutely want the synergy between the PPC and the LRM5 for those range brackets. However, if you look at battle value, and it's just off the top of my head, but I think the SRM4 is worth a mere 6 points more than an LRM5. I think the SRM is worth
close.
39 and the LRM, it's like 45, it's very, very similar. But the difference that that makes to a Panther turns it into a really, really powerful skirmishing mech where it's jump capable. You can... Sorry, go on, Tom.
Just a question. So are you saying the system itself or just the specific point values for certain things that could be adjusted?
What I'm saying is...
Is it like a balance issue?
Or no synergy. It doesn't look at the synergy.
Yeah, so there you go.
Of your force composition.
And
of the armament on a specific mech, right? So like I could put, you know, so for example, in the Panther example, the PPC has a minimum range of 3 as the SRM4. And like the fluff is like, well, it's for close support, but like who plays like that? I'd rather have a bunch of weapons with a minimum range and keep the thing out of minimum range and know that it's a sniper platform, right? Versus this stupid mix of weapons that makes no sense, right? And so I think Dom's point, it's actually a really good one. I haven't really thought about it. Like the synergy between weapons is not considered in battle value. And then that's kind of like the governance.
Even your
angle.
Range coverage, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I could
I have
I
one
could...
question follow up.
Yep.
No, please go. I'll just hold my finger up until you answer.
By all means, please ask away.
I was going to ask.
Please ask your question, sir.
Yeah. Dom, it was related to something you mentioned. It made me think again, going back to 40K. So there's certain weapons in 40K that can't actually hurt certain characters, right? Because the AP value. There's no concept of that in Battletech. Does it make sense or does it not make sense? Because that would really
change. They did away with that in the newer editions, right? But you were right. In the older editions, there was like armor and like you couldn't hurt a Land Raider with a bolt gun. Now I think you can.
Right, if you roll
like a bunch of sixes, yeah. But you're right. There's no corresponding concept in Battletech. Like everything does damage and everything takes damage, right? There's no like, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're talking about like, no, but even, I mean, even infantry, like they, and they do it in mass, but in mass they can damage. Yeah. So,
yeah.
In fact, even in the RPG,
makes sense, like that a small laser can damage an assault mech, right? Because they're technically using the same armor, right?
Right.
But you would
just
think
have more of it. Right.
Right. The only things you have are like a blade of armors and things where you modify damage, which is, correct. I guess, close.
The closest kind of cool. thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's jump to the next point. That this is good. So, you know, we sound sort of undecided, but largely like BV, it sounds like does the best job. I think PV is a little weirder, but again, Alpha Strike, very abstract. So I think they both kind of do the job. But some of the key points, I think, Tom, you made a good one about the scale of BV. Like we're in the thousands of points. Like there's a lot of like fine tuning in that amount. For better or for worse, kind of makes it a nightmare to build lists. But I think to some degree, I don't agree with the whole battle value calculation. Like I think speed's overrated. I think jump jets are overrated. I think some things are overrated. But I think the paradigm, or the pattern is good. Yeah. Speaking of list building, I want to talk about list tuning. And this sort of ties into, you know, the sort of the fun of the game, I guess, angle. Is list tuning part of the fun, or does it adversely affect balance? So list tuning, I mean, you know, you show up to a tournament and you're a new player and you're like, oh, I've got, you know, my 8,000 BV, you know, Lance. And then this other dude's like, cool, I've got 8,000 BV with like, you know, two VTOLs dropping stealth armored infantry and, you know, this one mech that's got tag and he's spotting for my offboard artillery. And you're like, what? You know, like, there's like two different kinds of list building, right? And you know, let's suspend the whole, well, tournament rules should, like, forget that. Let's talk about list tuning, right? Is that part of the game, or is it adversely affect balance, right? And again, we're focused specifically on the balance aspect. So do we think, said differently, does BV handle list tuning well, or does it not, right? So that's what I want to get in. So Dom, let's start with you, and then we'll go to Tom.
Just from what I've heard from like the tournament scene, no, it doesn't. I think BV falls down on this point. I think it's where it falls down as well. I mean, we're talking about balance here, so we're not going to kind of go into the moral aspect of this in terms of,
right,
you know, well,
right, yeah, let's avoid that. Play
the, whatever. So that's set that aside. But it's, to be fair, if you're going to just look at it coldly, it's in the rule set. You can do it. So fill your boots if you that way inclined. Will you have doing it? Probably not, but
yeah. So one thing that comes to mind is that there, and not everybody is aware that these things exist, there are things called field guns. Do you know what field guns are? So field guns are like a couple of infantry dudes standing next to like an AC-20.
Yeah.
And you can field them, and they're like, and there's like Gauss. I'm pretty sure there, I'd have to bring up Megamech. I'm pretty sure there's Gauss rifles. There's definitely longer range field guns as well, but they're like ridiculous.
Line them up on a hill.
You could just, you could like deploy like 10 of them and be, I mean, again, we talked about weighted dice, like hit with two Gauss rifles, like something's gonna feel it, right? I mean, God forbid AC-20s, like just, it's just a barrier. And either they've got a direct firepower to killing the stupid thing, or they need to deal with getting shot in the face 12 times from AC-20s or even AC-10s.
Do they move as well? Do they have like a two movement or something? Can the infantry pick them up?
I don't know if they move or not. I'd have to look up the rules. Okay. But again, like if they don't move, or even if they move very slowly, the way battle value looks at this is it's like, oh, it's super slow. Yeah. It's not that big of a threat.
80 battle value for a big gun on the field.
Yeah, right. Because you're getting a bonus to shooting at it and all that stuff, but you still have to hit it, and it's a turn. Right.
It deflects from, like, if you're playing objectives and you have to concentrate on taking out damn field artillery. When you've got other little mechs flying around and units capturing objectives. But it's a thing, right? It's there. It exists.
It's there, right?
So in real life, it's... Yeah. I mean, you think about Ukraine right now with the HIMARS. Yeah. It's very similar. You know, you got a guy in a field with an anti-aircraft missile that can just take down a $100 million jet or whatever it is.
Right.
Exactly. It's a real asymmetric.
There's no battle value in real life.
There is not.
Well, there is. I mean, there's a value for that.
Well, actually, that's a great. There's a great segue into our next point, which, you know, it's a two-part question. Is actual balance really even achievable in Battletech? You know, consider the variability of the dice in that first turn Gauss rifle to the face, right? That can kill your stone rhino in one hit. You know, or is it more achievable because there's no, like, Codex army-specific shenanigans, right? Pretty much, aside from IS and clans, pretty much everything is available to everyone. So that's sort of the first part of the question. And so why don't we focus on that one real quickly, and then we can move on to part two. So, Tom, I'll start with you. What do you think about that? Is balance really achievable because of all the, you know, the variability, or is it more achievable because there's no Codex-specific crap?
I mean, it's as balanced as any tabletop game that I can think of, unless somebody has a better example. Like, you're never going to beat the weight of dice. There's just literally not a system that can do it without some kind of big penalty. And then again, the luck of the dice. So those are two, they're inherent to all dice-based game systems. You just cannot, the only thing that, you know, 40K tried to, you know, they try to introduce saving throws and things like that to give you an opportunity to rectify the randomness of dice, which
randomness with randomness about.
right or with, you know, you paying big bucks to survive, you know, have your little guy survive. I think it's not achievable in any dice-based tabletop game.
I kind of agree with you. Dom, what do you think? Quickly, do you think balance is ever really achievable?
Absolutely. I agree exactly what Tom was saying there and what you've just said yourself, Aaron, that no tabletop game is going to get it right. It's impossible. You can just try to do the best you can do. Yeah. The one thing I would say about Battletech, though, which is quite unique, and you've already touched on this, was the head issue. Because if you can just wipe out 2,500 points of your special clan crunch mech with just a you know, Gauss rifle to the face from a Hollander, right, then that makes the game quite unique in terms of balance, because you cannot intrinsically balance a game with that mechanic in there, really. So but that's good, that's why we love Battletech, right? I'm not criticizing that. That's
and is that not realistic?
It is, and I do think that's why people like Battletech, because, agreed, you know, one, the battles are their own story, right? I lost my arm, I picked it up, I hit somebody over the head with it and crushed their cockpit. Like, you know, like, these things unfold, these outlandish things unfold, but it is not that dissimilar from potentially real conflict.
A headshot for a headshot.
Headshot for a headshot. Do you remember, action. Tom? Didn't we play a campaign where the two commanders, where you, like, did a trial of whatever, and, like, we went in, like, your guy got the Turkina, got stuck between the buildings, and we headshotted each other? I vaguely remember this.
That was the reference. That was the callback. Yeah.
the throwback Thursday, although it's Sunday. Anyway, all right, so last one, and then we'll move into a rapid.
Sentimental Sundays.
Sentimental Sunday. I love it.
Oh, good show.
Ding. Idea.
Where's the one? Yay.
All right. Last one. Is narrative style more attractive than, you know, than, like, a balanced style of play? Because you don't have to worry about trying to achieve something that's unachievable.
It depends on the setting, I think. like when we're playing at home, that's really fun.
Yeah.
If you were trying to do like a drop-in game, it's probably better to do like a straightforward, crunchy, balanced, because you know, because of the timing and all that stuff, and just, you know, who's playing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love narrative play. Big advocate.
Yeah, Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I do think as well there is a scope to combine the two a little bit. So, and I think you do this, Aaron. If you're running the, you know, the campaigns at the FA Towers, then you can, you'll basically be like, we don't want to make it like exactly, you know, 5,000 battle value and that's it. It's like you want to put some flavor in there. So if you're running like a free World League force, you want to use a few LRM spammers or a few vehicles or whatever, because so, it fits into their lore. And I think a lot of people play like that as well. I think even on the tournament scene, people usually try to, I've seen that if you look at lists, they'll try to build it around a certain force, just even if they know it's going to lose, but they have fun playing it. So I think that is, that answers the question. It's more fun, yes, because it just is. It's fun to, you know, to mix and match, like the competitive and the narrative side of it.
Yeah, that's a whole other angle of it I wasn't even considering, is like the building the list to be fluffy and sort of handicapping yourself, you know, inadvertently or overtly, right? Like, but having that fun of knowing, like, I'm playing like a combine list or a Marek list. That's interesting. I was thinking about it more like narrative, like, you know, Tom's trial of position, where he's in a Kodiak and I'm in like a, you know, a freaking Viper or whatever. Yeah, like, I'm certainly going to lose
the swarm of Irby's versus the Atlas.
Right, right. You know, yeah, things along those lines. So that's kind of interesting. And I personally do love the narrative style. I agree with you, Tom. You know, when you're in a store, you know, playing, and you know, it's probably good to have that battle value as like a, you know, it's like, here's what we're going to play. But in sort of a friendly setting, I think narrative style is really fun. And you're right, Dom, we sort of devised that whole strike operation system, which is mathematically extremely based on, I mean, battle value. It looks at averages of averages across, you know, tech base and weight class and, you know, mech or vehicle, right, over eras, and kind of abstracts that into, I get a heavy lance, it costs me 8 force value, right? And I can plug in certain classes of mechs into that, right? And that sort of, Tom, was your whole brainchild of like, I want to be able to pick off the shelf, right? So lots of neat stuff there. And you're right, Dom. It's like combining the two. That was the great point that you made. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. You can blend them, because, you know, I do think that perfect balance is unachievable, and fully narrative, like where it's like, I have a bunch of infantry against Tom's, like, you know, Lance of Vulcans and fire starters is not going to be very fun. But anyway, why don't we get into the render blender? Speaking of cheap and undercosted and super powerful. I'm just kidding. It is the one and only Jaegermech.
Oh, you won't.
Jaegermech.
Whatever it is. So here she blows. Now, the original sculpt was awful. This still has like the awfulness about it, but it looks much better. So I'm going to bring it up full screen. All right. Yeah. So we can take a look here. So Tom, blend us away.
Okay. So I have my two initial thoughts without even thinking, right? I shouldn't even call them thoughts. They're gut reactions. One is that it's an urban mech Voltron.
I was just thinking,
it's Krang from Teenage Mutant Turtles.
I see it. I'll never unsee it.
No, and so jokes aside, and I love that it makes me think of those two things. It's awesome. It really does look like an urban mech with some kind of like aerial defense guns just like screwed onto it. It's really cool. I like that it has no head, but it has a body, right? So it's almost like a headless horseman. If you got rid of that, the like the cruise ship array on the top of it. Like, or the rear of a 747, you know, not quite sure why that's there, but I would just chop that off if I was modding this. Yeah, if you could pivot that down, it'd be pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of a Civic with those, you know, APR wings on them. Yeah, it's great. Dude, the legs are great. Look at the little tiny, on the calves, like whatever, the banding is no above yeah, like
oh that's,
yeah those yeah, I don't know what they are, but there's they look like bumper again. It's a yacht mech. It's trying to it's for docking so it doesn't scratch up its.
That's because all the Yager mech pilots are so bad they have to have like safety bumpers for the hangar.
Yeah, yeah, dude, it's great. The rear is great. Like look at those shoulders. Look at the guns. It's super great. The hip joints. Everything's awesome on this mech. It's a great design. So like all the jokes aside. This is like a 10 out of 10. I really, except for the only thing I don't like, which is probably some canon thing, is the, yeah, that. It just, if it didn't have that, it would be, I'll give it a 9 out of 10, but it should be a 10 out of 10. What is that for? Is that a
communication
part of the Jaeger mech?
Yeah, I think they all had it. And it's, like the Rifleman's probably a comm array or something along those lines. I mean, the mech does not jump, does it? No, it definitely doesn't jump. So
I will, if you pull it back up, I just looked up a bunch of pictures, and I'll say I actually, so a lot of them have just a really spindly little rear wing, but it looks like he like super beefed this one up. It's a lot like thicker and chunkier than all the other ones, which is kind of cool. You can imagine like a helicopter like having some kind of winch around that thing and just lifting it up. It's cool. There's a lot of it's actually kind of cool compared to the other ones I don't really like that much.
Yeah, so. the OG one. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Great. Yeah. Okay, we'll give it a 9.5 out of 10. I'll give it a little bit more.
9.5.
Just because of what I'll it could it. Have been. Yeah. What do you guys think? I think it's cool. It's cool as anything.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I love the joints. Yeah, love the like the ammo bins up here, which is what I assume they are.
I didn't think about that.
I don't know the cannons. This could also be like ammunition for like the lower cannon. This could be for the upper cannon. I think it has twin AC5s and twin AC2s in its default config.
And it
looks great. I mean, it's definitely like not an optimized mech, but it's a fun mech. It's a flavorful mech. It's definitely one I will paint up and put in one of my house forces or maybe mercs or something. We'll see. So a couple of things. Number one, Ares Games and Minis. Don't forget to check out Derek over at Ares Games and Minis. You can get your very own Yager mech over there soon. Or if you can't wait, you can get the one from Ironwind Metals. But he's got the minis, the dice, the books. He's got terrain. He's got decals. He's got paints, paintbrushes, all the stuff over at Ares Games and Minis. Great prices, great shipping. Second, don't forget to smash that subscribe button or just touch it, just poke at it, Tom, with your single finger.
Where is it on the screen? Is it like here?
I don't know. I think it's down on that. It's probably by Dom somewhere. That's the subscribe watermark. So anyway, subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Let us know what you think about balance. Let us know your experiences. Like, what do you think? Have you had good success playing BV balance matches? I know there's a bunch of you guys out there. You go to the store every week. You play, 10,000 BV. Like, do you feel like they're pretty even matches, or have you had blowouts, or how's that work? Like, what's going on in the real world? Let us know. And other than that, if you want to get more involved in the channel, come on over to Patreon. It's a little as a dollar a month. $5 and $10 tiers are available, and helps keep the lights on and the cameras rolling. So we appreciate everything our patrons do for us. But that's it. I'm all done marketing. Tom and Dom, happy Sunday. Thank you again. And guys, of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death From Above Wargaming. Have a good day.